Meeting to order at 2:01 p.m. on Wednesday, April 4th. We're meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Committee members present are Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Geisel, Senator Begich, myself, Senator Wilson, Senator Machicki is on other state business. Today we will take up House Bill 151, DHS China Foster Care Child Protection by Rep. Guerra, and then later we'll take up House Bill 123, Health Care Disclosure by Representative Sponholz. Now, we heard from the bill sponsor and took invited testimony on March 19th. At this time, I just want to invite Rep. Guerra and his staff to the table, if you will, if you have any other closing comments. Also available, well, she's not there yet, so we'll wait for her to come available. Are there any other, first, any questions for Representative Guerra at this time from committee members? Seeing, hearing none, Rep. Guerra?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I appreciate the time the committee's put into the bill. I would only note that the bill really only works as a whole, but the committee's heard the testimony, so I don't want to add anything unless the committee has questions.
Thank you. I don't believe so any of this.
Thanks.
That's fine. Thank you. Are there any committee members' amendments? I do have a couple here. I'd like to move Amendment 1, 30-LS0451/L.5.
I object for purposes of explanation.
All right. And I believe members may have copies of this amendment.
So yes. Mr. Chair, I don't.
I don't either.
And this amendment was an amendment that we were working on with the organization Rock Matsu, which creates a formal response for the screen-out reports for alleged maltreatment of children, provides a mechanism for them to provide a voluntary case management services to families with reported harms that are not screened until initial assessment. This approach is similar to what's being done through the tribal organizations through the Alaska Tribal Child Welfare Compact, and changing the system will allow appropriate community organizations across the state of Alaska that serve with at-risk families, thereby preventing children experiencing maltreatment and reducing the burden to the Department of OCS. Specifically, the amendment does, on page 1, line 6, following parents related to the completed investigations and report of child harm. This language amends the title of the bill. Page 7, following line 4, amends that statute to provide the sharing of information to social service agencies through, which is important, the parental consent under the new subsection 18G. The information may not be disclosed without a court order. Following line 20, page 12, following page line 23, inserts a new subsection 18G containing language relating to obtaining written consent of a child or guardian to refer the family to a community organization, the confidentiality surrounding the sharing of information. Page 13, line 17 through 19, deletes all material and inserts new applicability language and renumbers accordingly through the rest of the bill. Any questions? Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering how the bill's sponsor, how they feel about these changes to Amendment Number 1.
Thank you, through the chair, Senator Begich, Senator Wilson, myself, Rock Matsu, have all spoken to each other about this. It's a very good amendment. What it does is says there are community groups. One is Rock Matsu. There are going to be others around the state that when a family is in trouble, we'll reach out to them. To try and address their problems so they don't end up in the OCS system. And that's the whole goal of the bill, is to get kids out of foster care. This will prevent them from coming in, hopefully. Rock Matsu has done great work, and we know that there are other groups around the state that will be doing that soon. Beacon Hill has been doing great work. So I support the amendment.
I withdraw my objection.
Thank you. Is there any other objection? Seeing and hearing none, Amendment 1 passes. Next, I have amendment number 2.
I object for purposes of explanation.
Introduce it.
Introduce it then. Sorry.
Yes, amendment number 2. I move amendment number 2, 30-LS-041-07. And there was an objection we stated earlier from Senator Von Imhoff. This is a request from the bill sponsor. This amends the timelines for completing the legislation. This starts off on page 13, line 31, to delete 1 year and insert 90 days. Changes the transition of time for the department to implement all the provisions of this act from 1 year to 90 days. Page 14, line 4 and 5, to the related above change. Page 14, line 6, deletes 3 years and insert 1 year. Changes the effective date for the sections 2 through 6, section 10, and 14 through 18. Page 14, line 11, related to the above change. And page 14, line 13, inserts new paragraphs in section 21.3 and creates a 2-year effective date for the section 15 through the act of training and workload standards and reports to the legislature. This allows the department 2 years to implement the provisions in this section. Senator Begich.
Mr. Chairman, did I hear you correctly? This was offered by the sponsor of the bill?
Correct.
And do you have any objections?
I do not. Any other discussion?
So I remove my objection.
Any further objection? Hearing none, amendment 2 passes. And lastly, I'd like to offer amendment 3, 30-LS-0451-L6.
I object for purposes of clarification.
Thank you. Amendment 3 requires OCS to prepare and deliver to the legislature no later than November 15th on each year an annual report on employee recruitment and retention, including a 5-year plan. This is a separate report from the annual report that's required under AS.18.05.02. Specifically, this amendment does the following. On page 10, line 20, deletes report singular and inserts reports. Page 12, line 6, inserts subsection A. This line would now allow to read if staffing report is required under section A of this section. And page 12, following line 16, adds a new section requiring an annual report on recruitment and retention and the 5-year plan. This is something that we did not previously discuss with the sponsor in very great detail, but this is something similar to what the Department of Public Safety has done. I don't know if committee members have seen their last Department of Public Safety, sort of an overview and retention plan, something we talked about in committee that the department currently does not fully do, but they have talked about different ways of, I don't want to say loosey-goosey, sort of talking upon the strategies of how they're going to handle retention and recruitment, but I just, for my sake, I would like to see something a little bit more in a formalized strategic plan. As Director Lawton talked about her 20 years of service, she's seen the same issues occur. And so for this, I hope to start the conversation of something that we can refer to back as a written plan and document instead of just sort of a verbalized statement and plan. Senator Begich.
Could I ask if the opinion of the sponsor of the legislation?
By all means. Representative Garrett, you can put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Begich. As I read this, it's not only consistent with legislation, it makes the legislation stronger. We want the department to do the things that are required in the bill, and I think this does that.
Any other comments or questions?
Is there someone from the department here that we could ask their thoughts on the Section D?
Thank you. We're supposed to have a lot, but if you want to come and put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tracy Swartz Campbell for the record. Excuse me. And I'm the OCS Deputy Director. We are comfortable with the plan for a 5-year retention plan. And as you mentioned, we have various strategies that we are working on. And so this plan may be a good option for us to be able to consolidate those into one plan. So we're supportive of it.
Thank you. Any other further discussion, comments?
Mayor, I remove my objection.
Is there any other objection to amendment number 3? Seeing or hearing or seeing none, amendment 3 passes. And those, I believe, are my amendments for this piece of legislation. Are there any other amendments to come before us? Seeing or hearing none, is there a motion to move this bill from committee? Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. I move committee substitute for House Bill 151, Version D, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal notes.
Is there objection?
Version L. I apologize.
Okay.
L.
All right. I'd like to restate my motion, please.
Yes, please, Senator Von Imhoff.
I move committee substitute for House Bill 151, Version L, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal notes.
Is there objection? Seeing or hearing none, the committee substitute has for House Bill 151 has passed, letting Ledge Legal make all the conforming necessary changes to this bill. We'll take an at ease to go sign the documents. Thank you, committee.
Okay, so it's version L?
Yes. I'm back to order. Our next, we'll take up House Bill 123. We adopted a CS and heard from the bill sponsor and took public testimony on March 16th. I'd now like to welcome the bill sponsor, Rep. Sponholz, and her staff, Bernie Nesbitt, to the table. Are there any comments, final questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing and hearing none, President Halls, do you have any comments you'd like to make to the committee?
I don't, actually.
All right. Are there any amendments? I do have a few amendments for this bill as well. First, I'd like to move amendment number 1, 30-LS0380/G3.
I object for the purposes of explanation.
This amendment, following amendment, does two things. One, on page 5, line 26, changes the amount for the civil penalty under the cap to $5,000 to $10,000. And on page 6, line 25, includes tribal facilities under the health care facility, which means tribal facilities will need to comply with the bill's requirements. Senator Begich.
Just a quick question. I assume you worked with the sponsored legislation on these amendments?
We talked about them, but if Rep. Sponholz would mind addressing the committee.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. Through the chair, Senator Begich, we did discuss the changes that, that the amendment sponsor proposes, and I support them.
Thank you.
You have further questions or comments?
I remove my objection.
Any other objection to Amendment 1? Seeing or hearing none, Amendment 1 passes. I'd like to move Amendment number 2, 30-LS0380/G5.
I object for purposes of description.
This was requested by the Department of Health and Social Services to adopt adds sections 3 to allow the department to adopt regulations necessary to implement the changes by the act. Specifically, the amendment does the following. On page 7, following line 20, inserts a new section, transitional language for the adoption of regulations by the Department of Health and Social Services. It adds a new section 4, which states section 3 takes effect immediately. On page 7, line 20 provides both the new immediate effective date of Section 4, as well as original language of the original July 1, 19 effective date for the rest of the bill, and renumbers the bill sections accordingly. Any questions from committee members? Comments?
I remove my objection.
All right. Is there any other objection to Amendment number 2? Seeing or hearing none, Amendment 2 passes. like to move amendment number 3, 30-LS3080/G.6.
I object for purposes of explanation.
Amendment 3 adds health care insurers to entities that shall provide a good faith estimate to patients who request non-emergency health care services. The bill, specifically the amendment, does the following. Adds line, page 1, lines 1, adds relating to health care assurance to the title of the bill. Beginning on page 4, line 6, various subsections under section 2G deletes facility and inserts health care facility or health care insurer. Page 5, line 25, the following of the section inserts healthcare insurer to ensure that insurers will be held for civil civil penalties for not complying with the version of the bill. And page 7, following page 7, following line 20, adds a new section 3 that adds healthcare insurer to all those who provide a good faith estimate and renumbers the bill accordingly. Senator Begich.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if you could just describe that amendment to me in what the intent is and what the purpose of it is.
Yes, Senator Begich, the intent was to allow good faith estimates to be provided by not only those that are providing the service, but also the insurer as well, because those prices on the wall may not be applicable for folks that may have insurance. And if the doctor's office does not have the availability to contact your own insurer, you'll be able to give the codes to your insurer to be able to get a better estimate that is more detailed and specific to you personally, rather just a random estimate on some of those items. It also allows the same compliance of the date time frames for to provide a good faith estimate. So let's say your doctor's office may have 5 days. The insurer may say that I may be able to get you a good faith estimate in 10, but this sort of puts them in the same line and context of the same time frame to be able to work with the doctor's office as well to provide you your best good faith estimate that they can possibly provide.
And just to be follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Is this also an amendment that is supported by the prime sponsor?
Representative Sponholt speak?
Yeah, Senator Begich, through the chair, it's welcomed by the prime sponsor. I think that it's we had modeled our good faith estimate updates to the bill this year on the municipality of Anchorage. The municipality of Anchorage did not include insurers, but I think that we all agree that getting a good faith estimate from your insurers in a timely manner is an appropriate and reasonable thing to expect.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could just comment that I'm asking this because I actually don't know the answer to whether this does or doesn't improve, and so that's why I'm asking the questions. It's not to be in any way delay the process. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So with this amendment, the insurers will be participating in the good faith estimate timing, but not necessarily posting their prices or codes similar to what we're asking healthcare facilities and healthcare providers.
Correct.
Okay.
I didn't know that. That's good.
It was just in the later portion of the bill and not trying to add that additional item on them at this time. Okay. Senator Von Imhoff?
And then insurer, is there another definition of insurer at a different place that says, private insurer, self-insured, Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE, et cetera? I mean, is there a definition of insurer?
I'll let my aide, Bernice Nisbet, take the question.
For the record, Bernice Nisbet, staff to Representative Sponholz. If you look on page 6, we're still on version G, there's actually a definition of what healthcare insurer will be defined as, and it's the same definition given in AS 21.54.500.
Page what line?
Look on line 30.
Page 6, line 30. Mm-hmm. Through the chair.
Take a brief at ease here.
We'll look it up.
Back on the record, Senator Giesel.
I'll wait for Director Wehmeyer to speak. Thank you.
Oh.
All right. You good?
Yes. Thank you for Director Wehmeyer for put yourself on the record.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Wilson. I am Lori Winghire. I'm the Director of the Division of Insurance for the State of Alaska.
Yeah. Senator Geisel.
I just wanted to hear Director Winghire comment on the insurer component of this. That's all.
Senator Geisel, through the chair, there's no doubt that in transparency, the amount paid needs to be addressed. And the amount paid is most often going to be what the insurance company has either negotiated or can inform the consumer how much they will pay, if it's the 80th percentile or some other formula, so that the consumer understands what they may pay out of pocket. Without that component, you could look at what the provider may put on their internet site and decide that you couldn't go forward because you didn't, it was too high, not knowing that your insurance is going to pay 50%, 60%, and of course it's subject to your deductible and copay. So the involvement of the insurance company is an important factor.
Follow-up, Senator Geisel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, in fact, it would be impossible, really, for an insurer to put their reimbursement rates on the website because it is so personalized to each of their insureds, depending on what their negotiated rates were.
Through the chair, Senator Geisel, that is correct. With the network contracts, which may differ between employers, such as the state plan may not have the same networks as perhaps Siri or another large employer, which may not be the same network as perhaps the individual market. And that being the case, and depending on how the plan is written itself, the healthcare plan, it may differ in deductible, it may differ in copay. So those factors have to be taken into account when someone is looking at the cost to them or of the procedure itself.
Senator Geisel.
Director Mullinghire, are insurers at this time required to respond to their clients' requests for that kind of information?
Through the chair, Senator Geisel, yes, they are. And we have found more and more that, such as one of our largest insurers, now has a pretty good website where clients can go on themselves. I met with them this morning. They told me they were updating it in August, but it's a beta model. But we have found that insurers are becoming more transparent themselves to allow consumers to, empowering consumers to do the research on their own. It's a long way from being perfect, but the attempt is starting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Director Winghire? Senator Von Imhoff.
So I remove my objection.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other objections to Amendment Number 3? Hearing or seeing none, Amendment Number 3 passes. Are there any other amendments to be heard at this time?
No amendments.
Is there a motion to move this bill out of committee? Senator Von Imhoff?
I actually would like to make a couple comments on this bill.
Yes, please.
Okay. I'd like to thank Representative Sponholz for bringing this bill forward. It's a good bill. I think it's a good start. I've put a lot of thought in this particular bill more than a lot of other bills, and I would like to continue dialogue with Representative Sponholz well into the summer and into the fall and next year to build upon this bill, meaning I support this bill, but I'd like to do a new bill in a year from now that adds the other components of the payer or healthcare cycle. You have the providers, such as the doctors and the hospitals, that provide the actual procedure. Then you have the insurers that actually pay for the procedure. You have healthcare trusts who manage healthcare plans for public entities. And then you have the patients themselves that need to actively compare prices, pay attention to value, and ask for those good faith estimates. This bill addresses providers, and then now a bit with the insurers. It encourages patients to do good faith estimates, but there's more work to be done. So I am excited to work with people in this room for the next year to see how we can build upon this bill. This is a starting block, and build upon this bill and really bend the cost of health care growth in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I, too, will echo my vice chair's comments. According to the bill, I feel that I think Representative Sponholz phrased this bill the right way. This is a marathon. This is the first couple steps and first leg of that marathon, and it's a good step forth. We have a long way to go in terms of trying to help fellow Alaskans with lowering the costs of health care and trying to unravel health care's complexity in the state. And I feel this is a good faith and step effort toward that progress as well. With that, is there a motion to move this bill out of committee?
Yes. I move the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 123, version G, as amended, from committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal notes.
All right. Any objection? Hearing or seeing none, the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 123, version G, as amended, is passed, and with the understanding that Legislegal has the ability to make any conforming changes necessary to the bill. And with that, we'll take a quick ease to sign documents. The Senate Health and Social Services Committee today, on Friday, April 6th, we'll hear and take public testimony on two items, Senate Bill 134, Termination of Parental Rights by Senator Gartner, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 18, November 18 is Diabetic Eye Disease Month by Senator Costello. Are there any members closing comments? Senator Begich.
Very quick closing comment. In the future, if possible, could we see some of these amendments, especially if they're non-controversial, in advance, just to have the opportunity to go through them?
I apologize for that. That was my mistake, and I will make sure that that happens.
Thank you.
Any other closing comments? All right. We are adjourned at 2:33 p.m.